right, it is 2 o'clock call of the day. It's the day after the Lakers punched their ticket from the play into the playoffs. They beat Minnesota last night in an ugly game where they came all the way back inch by inch till they finally won the damn thing in overtime. And now they get ready for Memphis game one. Bergman is already off the ship. It didn't take him long.
That's what you're going to try and do. You're not even taking a side, so who cares?
I'm not taking a side. I have to sit with this. I'm going to sit with it.
It makes great radio. I have no opinion.
It'll make great radio tomorrow.
No opinion until Sunday.
It'll make great radio tomorrow.
I need to watch games.
It's a tease.
First.
It's a tease. Tomorrow.
Yeah. Tomorrow. Okay, you're going to have an opinion tomorrow?
Yes.
Don't back off it.
Yeah. No.
That's it. Once you're on it, you're on it.
Do I ever back off an opinion?
Oh, yeah. All right, take your call of the day.
All right. It is time for the huge call of the day. No, it's time for the 2 o'clock call of the day.
The huge call of the day.
2 o'clock call of the day. Ireland, pick a number, any number.
Well, you always like number 7, so let's do Duncan in Temecula.
Hey, Duncan, what's up, man?
Well, I think you all are gutless, every one of you.
In what sense, Duncan?
And it's because you're calling it an ugly game and you're not realizing that it's playoff basketball and there is so much beauty in a win.
I don't disagree. I mean, it's just win any way
win
you
is
can.
A win.
But what beauty did you see in that game last night? But for about 6 minutes in the fourth quarter, neither team scored.
But that's what playoff basketball is. I mean, you think about the great runs of Michael Jordan. I mean, a lot of those games were under 100 points.
Right. Well, you know what, Duncan? Come to think of it, maybe the greatest basketball game that Mason and I have been together at in person.
Game 7.
2010. Do you remember the score, Mace?
It was low. I remember Ron Artest, of all people, was the guy who
To Duncan's point, the score of that game, when Kobe won his fifth title and we beat the Celtics and Artest hit that huge shot, was 83-79
right.
was the final. So, Duncan, that's your point, that you got to expect slogs in these playoffs.
And by the
right?
way, you just and Duncan, you just said that the best way for the Lakers to win this series is to muck it up, which means inherently ugly looking basketball.
So, Duncan, are you with me? You think the Lakers got a real shot here? Or are you with Bergman? You leaning towards Memphis?
I tell you what, I think they have a shot. They might even come out of the second round.
Hey, now we're talking.
I like your
Western
attitude,
Conference
Duncan.
Finals, Duncan.
And I'll tell you when I started to feel that is when Anthony Davis started to play through pain. I think there was that game where he hurt his ankle and he was down for 5 minutes. And then he got up and Michael talked about how, you can play through that. And he did.
Yeah.
And he might have been one-legged, but he kept scoring.
Yeah. It could.
And that's when I started to believe.
Okay.
All right. All right. Hey, Duncan, thank you for the call. You're gutless.
You guys are all gutless. Why
think
the game was ugly, are we gutless?
Yeah, that's not gutless.
That's Morales' uses of gutless. He just throws it out into any situation.
That's what it's going to be now.
Hey, Chris, you know what time it is? You're gutless!
Gutless!
Pretty much. Can I say this, though? If the Lakers get through Memphis, I think they go to the conference finals, at least.
You think they beat the Warriors or the Kings?
The Warriors or the Kings.
Get through Memphis.
Right. If they get through Memphis,
right.
I think they go to the conference finals, possibly the finals.
Yeah, that's a take, Mace.
Yes, it's actually having an opinion.
See, I'm going to put it in the promo, what we call the lookie promo. I'm going to announce my official prediction for the Memphis Lakers series.
Okay, everyone's on bated breath waiting.
During the last break, Mason said to me, I'm sending you the name of a drug, and I want you to ask your doctor about it that could help you sleep. You did not send it to me, which means you sent it to someone else. Who did you send it to?
Hopefully it was just Dewan.
Who are you giving drug tips to? Because it's not me.
It's John.
It's another John, or it's somebody, another J. John, somebody that starts with J.
Coctosin.
A Fletch reference.
John.
John Babar. Isn't there an elephant named Babar? Yeah.
Yes, there is. Yeah. There is. I'll resend it. No, this guy sent me a smiley face, so he must already be on it. Already on it. So we always make bets around here. Charles Barkley made one.
I'm so bummed Shaq didn't take him up on it.
Yeah.
Because they both probably have this much money. But Shaq, this was before the game between the Hawks and the Heat. Atlanta at Miami last night. Miami was a big favorite. I think you said yesterday that 80%, may have been 100% of the ESPN experts all picked Miami.
Yeah, 17-0.
And Miami lost. But before the game, listen to Charles Barkley talking about the Heat-Hawks game.
But I think because of Spoelstra and those three guys, because for me, the Wild
Card. So they already got by tonight.
Yeah, they're going to beat the Hawks. Come on, the Hawks stink.
Bet it.
Bet it, whatever you want to.
Okay.
$1 billion. Okay. No, Ernie, because
that
wasn't
very convincing.
Because I know.
That was a very tentative
He offered to bet
$1 billion.
$1 billion. I wish Shaq would have taken him up. Shaq could probably get a hold of $1 billion if he would have lost. And now you would just get it all from Barkley.
From Barkley.
I'm telling you, that's why I like you yesterday with your this is a cakewalk. The playoffs are never a cakewalk. They just aren't.
What was? We won by 5, right?
6,
the line
I think.
Was 7.5. Yeah. It was right there.
Well, you lost 25 grand in
mythical
money.
Yeah, but I was right. It's not like I was completely. I said they'd cover the number. They almost covered the number.
Oh, yeah, you were one Hail Mary 3 away
exactly.
From getting lucky
one
there.
1-3 away from it. Yeah. 1-3 away. All right. $1 billion. Once I decide who I'm taking in this series, and you guys can probably suspect who I'm going
to. Well, I think you've seen the reaction to Bergman since he picked Memphis, and I think you're going to avoid that at all costs.
I think so, too.
You're going to pick the Lakers.
Yeah, there's.
Like, I don't want to be hated.
Yeah, no, you're despised. No.
Well, I was always despised.
Too late. Look behind you. If you don't want to be hated, you should rewind half an hour.
Oh, no, no. That's fine. I will take that.
Okay, I'm going to this is going to be the tease. I'm leaning Lakers.
Leaning Lakers.
Leaning yeah. Lakers.
Well, I'm already there. Come on board. We got plenty of room on this bandwagon.
No, you say you got to watch the matchup. You say you can't make a
well,
prediction
it will help
after
you.
Game
no,
one.
No, I'm picking the Lakers in this series.
Oh, are you?
You're picking the Lakers to win the finals.
Let me think. Play-in games don't count towards your playoff record, so it's 7 games, right?
Yeah, so you need 12 wins. 16 wins.
16-0.
16-0.
Lakers, 16-0.
There you go. 16-0.
That's my prediction.
Yeah. By the heartwarming moment last night. Oh, the heartwarming moment. I saw the picture of you.
Me and Dave Miller.
And
made
Coach
up.
Dave
yeah,
Miller.
Yeah, the only beef now that exists in the universe is you against Steve Hartman.
Yeah, me versus Hartman.
Yeah, Dave and I are good now.
Yeah. Now, Bergman, isn't that...
Although, I got to tell you a funny story about
okay,
that.
Okay, good.
So, remember yesterday, I was telling you that... It was really Dave's wife, Eileen,
who's a wonderful person.
The credit.
She's an angel.
Because she heard what I said on Friday, and then I called Dave on Saturday.
Yes.
And Dave was not going to call me back.
Correct.
Because I was mad at him, and he was mad at me.
Yes.
And Eileen said, "What are you two idiots doing? Get on the phone." So yesterday, I took that picture with Dave.
Yep.
We made up.
Yep.
And Dave goes, "I got to tell you something funny Eileen says." Now, you know Eileen. She's a very nice
woman.
Oh,
my God. Eileen is...
Never says a bad word about anybody.
She like works in hospice. She's
right.
Like,
she's
a wonderful person.
So Eileen was listening to the show yesterday when Bergman said, after I said I made up with Dave, and Bergman goes, "Ireland, you're soft."
Soft.
She said, "That guy Bergman is an a-hole."
John Fike.
I never heard Eileen even swear.
Don't you want people to get along, Bergman? Don't you want people to
That's
get along?
That's not fun for me. No.
No, he wants conflict.
Yeah. Conflict.
Yeah. Yeah. He goes to the Chris Morales School
See,
of Radio.
You're a very nice guy. You're a very nice guy. I've always gotten along with Dave. It's just a weird world where you and he don't get along. So I'm glad that worked
out. Yeah, it's all worked out.
Me and Hartman, never.
See, that's not soft.
It's a take. It's my take. Me and Hartman, never. Never. And apparently there's conversation, like Cappy was texting with Hartman.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we'll get a reconciliation.
Cappy said there's a lot of history, is what Steve Hartman said.
That sounds
a lot of history.
Yeah, I don't
you
see
you text him.
I don't see you guys, either one of you guys, backing down from this.
No.
We'll see.
Absolutely not. I want to ask you, this is just totally random.
Okay.
Totally random.
Okay.
There's a huge pizza festival coming to downtown LA, LA Live, April 29th and 30th. It's called Pizza Fest.
Okay.
So my question is, what is the best non-chain pizza place that you go to? So I know you go to Fresh Brothers. I know you've got your different places you go. Yeah. What about best non-chain pizza?
Okay. This is a shout out to my friend Jared Stacey.
Yep.
Who works in Amazon. Years ago, I was going to Santa Barbara, and Jared used to sit next to me on the Laker plane. Now he's a big muckety-muck executive.
Right.
And I mentioned that Lisa and I were going to Santa Barbara, and he goes, you got to go to this pizza joint.
Okay.
He said, it's on State Street, or it's right off of State Street in Santa Barbara.
Yep.
And it's called Olio. O-L-I-O.
Okay.
Trust me. So Lisa and I go in there. This was the best pizza I have never
really
gone to Santa Barbara without going to Olio since he told me that 10
wow.
years ago.
Okay, so Olio in Santa Barbara.
Yep, that's the spot. Bergman, how about you?
Bergman, what about you? Best non-chain
pizza. Non-chain?
We love the chain pizza.
I have
place,
no idea, by the way, if Olio has survived the pandemic.
Oh, I'm
going
to
look
you
it
never
up.
Know.
There is a place across the street from my apartment. It's called Joe Peeps. It's New York style pizza, and they put a ton of toppings on it. It's delicious. Really, really good. Joe Peeps.
Jorge?
Yeah, there's a place in Burbank called Mama's Pizza. Mm-hmm. Oh, that place is delicious. They have wings, everything from pizza to wings. Mama's Pizza in Burbank.
Olio's still alive and kicking in downtown Santa Barbara.
And for me, and the reason I brought it up is I want to give a shout out to this place to make sure it's doing well, is Prime Pizza. They got like 6 locations, and they're fantastic. It's New York style. It's fold over style, the way you like in New York. So that's my plug for Prime Pizza.
Bill Ness says Casa Bianca in Eagle Rock.
Okay.
Is a spot.
Yeah. Here's, by the way, Dave Miller just texted me.
He says
Ireland is the only one on the station who knows basketball.
It's because I got mad at him because he texted that to you.
Correct.
Yeah. But here's the better one. For the record, that is the second time in 39 years of marriage I ever heard Eileen curse yesterday about Berg.
Don't I bring out the best in people?
Yeah, yeah,
I love
really
it.
Do.
By
really
the way, Michael do. Thompson texted me pictures of you and
I know.
Yeah,
I
yeah. That's that was the makeup pictures.
Yeah, I got the pictures.
We hugged
they
it out.
Very nice.
He's also kissing your cheek. How did that feel?
Fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
It wasn't a.
I'm a hugger.
Yeah.
Yeah,
since
everything,
when?
Everything was good. Well, I just never hug you.
Oh, well, I don't need to hug you.
So, Ireland, you raised a really good issue.
It strikes me as strange.
About Paul Pierce.
Yeah, let's talk about this because I'm not sure what the answer is.
Yeah, so Paul Pierce got in trouble. We'll tell
got
you.
Got fired.
And now, does it make
well,
sense?
Well, he's asking this question.
Yeah.
What did I do wrong?
Yeah.
And we'll tell you what he did, and you guys can tell us if you deserved it.
Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So remember last week I was talking about the big bumps I have in my street?
Yeah.
So I did what I
and
think.
And roots were growing through the cement, and it was popping up the sidewalk, and people were getting hurt.
So I did what any sensible tax-paying Angelino would do. I reached out to my council person.
Any luck?
Not a word.
See,
I took pictures. I took video. I sent it all to the council person.
If Tom Labonge was still alive, he would have had that street cleaned up the day you sent that stuff. We're so polarized politically now that I don't know if politicians even answer their phones.
Tracy Park is my council person.
Come on, Tracy, get to stepping.
At least respond to my email. All right. So Paul Pierce got in trouble, what is it, maybe 2 years ago?
Yeah. Now, here's the backstory on this. Paul Pierce was fired by ESPN in April of 2021. Matter of fact, exactly 2 years ago.
Okay.
After videos of Pierce partying went viral on social media. He was this week on an I Am Athlete podcast.
Okay.
And he was explaining what happened. He recorded himself via Instagram Live while playing cards with friends, smoking weed, surrounded by exotic dancers.
Okay.
Here's what he said. Quote, I got fired for what? I got fired for having some entertainment. I'm playing cards. It's my boy's birthday. It's girls dancing. We blowing some tree. What did I do wrong? So I put it to you, Mace. What did he do wrong? He was off the clock.
Yep.
He went on Instagram Live.
Yep.
Smoking weed, playing cards, yep. Exotic dancers in the room. Fireable offense or no?
So here's what he did wrong. He did it publicly.
So the Instagram Live, well, what about you that says if it's not recorded, it didn't happen?
You won't find any recording of me using any substance.
Right.
You won't find me with dancing girls.
There's a recording of you naked in a waterfall.
That's not really, but it doesn't look naked. No, it actually looks naked, but it's not naked. No, I think the mistake was he did it publicly. He did it on Instagram Live.
So it's kind of like when the Mavericks announced publicly that they were tanking. It's okay to tank, just don't tell anybody.
It was an organizational decision, exactly. Don't you think that's a mistake Paul Pierce made? Was he just stuck it on Instagram Live?
I mean, that's obviously why he got fired, so yes. Well, I don't think he did anything wrong.
I will say this, too. It depends where you work. For example, Paul Pierce works for ESPN, which is owned by Disney. It's a family company.
Yep.
Charles Barkley has said many, many times he could not work for ESPN because he would be fired on his first day because he shoots from the hip and he says things and does things that probably wouldn't go along in the Disney culture.
Right.
So Pierce did it while he's working at ESPN. Now, would TNT have fired him for the same thing? Probably not, but who knows? I tend to agree with you. I think that he could have done all that stuff. Just don't put it on Instagram.
Don't put it on Instagram.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, honestly, I do not, contrary to what you say, I don't put everything on Instagram.
Not everything.
No, I don't. Mostly it's just like, here's a happy picture of me playing pickleball. I mean, that's really what's on, Bergman, that's the mistake. The mistake is you don't have to do everything live. People get in trouble on these Instagram Lives all the time because they think, oh, it's casual, I can do anything. You can't. I mean, doing it publicly is completely different.
One of my bosses asked me once, why are you on Twitter? And yeah. I said, it's a good way for me to interact with listeners and fans.
Yes.
And he said, what would happen if you just went off it? And I said, nothing. He goes, my take on this is every time you post, you are risking something. You're risking alienating someone because the country is so fractured. So unless you keep your tweets Magic Johnson, Pau Gasol, G-rated, you could always run into trouble.
Well, you can definitely get into trouble, but you're never going to get in trouble for saying Lakers in six.
I'll give you a good example. Years and years ago, we had a girl here named Jen that worked here.
Oh, yeah. Jen's great.
And Jen's son.
We won't say her last name. I know it.
Yeah. Jen's son was turning, I think he was turning six.
Yes.
And she threw a Laker-themed birthday party for her. And she took a picture, and it was her son in a Laker jersey hitting a pinata, and the pinata was Isaiah Thomas in a Celtics jersey.
Right.
And I tweeted out that picture, and I tweeted, Jen is Hispanic.
Yeah.
And I tweeted, excellent parenting, with an exclamation point.
Right.
And the NBA on ESPN Twitter handle,
yep,
which has like 5 or 6 million Twitter followers, retweeted my tweet and said, nothing like Lakers Celtics,
right,
with a smiley face,
okay,
and a picture of her son hitting the pinata. And immediately the reaction was, brown on black crime, not funny.
Hmm.
And somebody else tweeted it, and then I ended up deleting it, and ESPN...
Did they delete it?
Oh, yeah, right away. Because it's not cool promoting... I didn't even think that I was promoting I thought it was a kid's birthday party with a piñata, and so I deleted it, they deleted it, and it all went away, but I thought that's how you can get in trouble. Paul Pierce, now, had I doubled down on it...
Right.
And gone, F you, I hate the Celtics, screw the Celtics, I wish I had 10 piñatas. It could have turned into a debate on, is it okay for a young brown kid to be hitting a black piñata and turn political? I just deleted it. Because I didn't want the argument.
So I was at a party, Super Bowl party, where there was a Tom Brady piñata.
Okay.
And we all took a swing. So if a picture of me doing that had gone on social media... Would it have created the same firestorm, or was it about race?
About race, clearly.
So I could hit the Brady pinata.
Yeah. Now, if you hit a pinata of Devin McCourty,
right,
somebody would have called you out.
Sure.
You know, that's just the climate we live in.
Yeah.
And 90%.
But most of the stuff you tweet has nothing to do. I mean,
I just don't tweet very much anymore.
Yeah.
But I don't tweet a lot either. Just for the record, I wouldn't have fired Paul Pierce over this. I would have said, if you want to suspend him for a week and say, hey, that's not the image we want to project at the company, that's fine. You have to do something, in my opinion, fairly egregious if I'm going to fire you.
Right.
I can warn you. I can suspend you. But just firing you out of the blue, that doesn't meet the... I've told this story before. The Sacramento Kings used to have an announcer, Grant Napier.
Yep.
Had been with the team for 25 years.
Right.
And during the Black Lives Matter movement, somebody tweeted him, what do you think of BLM? And he wrote, I think all lives matter, every single one.
Mm-hmm.
They fired him because they said he didn't understand the movement. And he's been out of the job ever since. That was 3-4 years ago.
Right.
For tweeting all lives matter, every single one. And there's probably more to the story than that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't,
but that was the thing.
But that was the straw that broke the camel's back.
That was the thing, sure.
So you got to be careful. I mean, but I think you're right. If Pierce doesn't put it on Instagram Live, he probably, and even if he tweets, hey, hanging
time.
With my boys, blowing some tree, blah, blah, blah,
no
with
deal.
No video, no pictures,
right.
He probably survives it.
Well, you guys are saying we got to be careful of what we post, but we also got to be careful of what we're doing and the people that are around us.
Right.
Because we could be doing something that has nothing to do with our jobs or with anything. But if somebody posts, you know, if we... Say I get in an argument over something at a park.
Right.
You know, like I'm with my daughter and then something happens. And I get in an argument with a person and somebody's recording that and they post it. Can I get in trouble for that?
Oh, yeah. That happened to the president of the San Francisco Giants. He was having an argument with his wife in a public square, a public place. And he grabbed her phone and it looked like a pretty serious argument.
Yep.
But he grabbed her phone. She goes, hey, what are you doing? You're hurting me. And they had to suspend him.
Right.
And they're still married and they have 4 kids and it was, but you're right, Jorge, you can't, I mean, you gotta remember that everybody has a phone in their pocket.
Right.
And Paul Pierce elected to use it to, show that thing.
I've never told this story and I kept it really quiet and I didn't make a big deal of it. Bergman, you know about it because it surfaced on social media, where at the Rams
SoFi
parking lot at SoFi, there was a fight in the parking lot. And I got out of the car because I thought, all right.
Maybe you could break it up.
I can maybe break this up.
Yeah.
And somebody yelled, that's Steve Mason. And it all of a sudden ended up. And they spun it that somehow I was being an a-hole.
You were promoting the fight or something.
Or I was being an a-hole.
He was causing the fight.
I was causing the fight in some way. But I kept it quiet. But, I mean, there is a camera in everybody's.
Well, that's the story you just told us to Jorge's point. Your intentions were 100% pure.
Yeah.
You were getting out of your car to break up a fight. But if the video is you taking a listener and physically moving him away from the other
one,
it's like, hey, I saw this fight in a parking lot and Mason was right in the middle of it.
Yeah. I was just like, calm down.
Yeah, you were like trying to back up or something.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, but it ended up out there.
Yeah. All over the place. They thought you were being like a male Karen, which I don't know what they're called.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, that term kind of went away, didn't it?
It's a Chad, by the way.
Is it a Chad?
Male Karen is a Chad.
It's a Chad. Okay, so they thought you were being a Chad.
I'm almost positive it is a Chad.
That's really unfair to guys named Chad.
It is sad for Chad.
You think anybody names their kid Karen anymore?
No.
I have a cousin named Karen.
I feel bad for my friends who
like
are named Karen.
50.
I mean, right?
Yeah, right.
It's a bad name to have.
That's why Karen K, you liked when you called her Shosh.
Shosh, exactly, because yeah. She
or
didn't
Kiki.
Like being Karen
or
K.
Kiki, yeah.
Kiki, exactly. All right, coming up next for you, let's do this thing. We'll do some Dodgers. There's one particular Dodger.
Yeah, they didn't score any runs last night, did they?
One particular Dodger of extreme concern. We'll do that coming up next. Hey, when you're injured in an accident, one of the first calls you get is from the other person's insurance company. Always happens. Always happens. And they want to give you money. Now, what you got to do is not fall for this trick, because they're offering you money to replace or repair your vehicle. But will that cover your medical bills? Will that cover your lost wages for time missing work?
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Safe to say the answer is no. So you shouldn't have to pay any money out of your pocket to fix your car or go see a doctor. Or if you're missing work and your paychecks are less, don't try to do this yourself. By the way, if you talk to the insurance company, they're recording it. And if you say everything's fine, they're going to use that against you later. You know who to call. Get on the phone, not with the insurance company, but with Jacob. He will deal with the insurance company, help you with the rental car, schedule your doctor's appointments, and nothing will come out of pocket. That's right. You don't pay a dime out of pocket while Jacob helps you take care of everything and ultimately gets you the settlement that you deserve. Remember, a lot of attorneys say they'll fight for you. Call Jacob. He'll win for you. 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. 844-24-JACOB, or remember,
accident or injury, call Jacob and Ronnie, call Jacob.
Call Jacob.com. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. So the Dodgers got shut out last night.
By the lying, hating, bike-stealing Giants.
And
was that a Logan Webb? Did he pitch
no,
last night?
No, that was Alex Wood, our old friend.
Our old buddy Alex Wood.
So, and he pitched really well, and the Giants bullpen threw really well. I picked up the end of the game. I have no idea why Evan Phillips came in with the Dodgers down 2-0. He ended up giving up three runs in the ninth inning. I don't know what the thinking is. If you've got a closer, why would you put him in a non-save situation?
Especially if you're trying to get him into that role, because he's never been that role. So if now you're trying to get him into that mindset, bring him in and the down two runs makes no sense.
Yeah, it makes no sense. Now, the guy that is the biggest problem right now for the Dodgers is Chris Taylor, who's been absolutely awful.
How often are they using him?
Pretty regular, Ireland, because they need him in they use him in the outfield, they use him in the infield, they use him at shortstop. Miguel Rojas hasn't been great.
Is there anybody else, Bergman, who could play shortstop besides Chris Taylor and Miguel Rojas?
No, and I think that's part of the problem, right? You would have to probably bring somebody up like Michael Bush to play second, or I don't know how he plays short, but Miguel Vargas at short.
Does Vargas play short? I'm not sure if Miguel Vargas plays short.
I don't know if he's ever played short. So there's not a lot of dudes that can do it, and I think that's the only problem.
So Chris
but
Taylor
he was playing
is,
third
Chris
last
Taylor
night.
Chris Taylor has been at the plate 31 times and struck out 14.
Okay,
so about a 50% strikeout
this is
rate.
This is a question I used to have when I was a TV reporter in San Diego. So I got to know the Padres GM back then, a guy named Joe McElvain, mm-hmm. and he used to let me ask him really dumb questions.
Yes.
So one time he told me, it was before the season started, and he said, hey, you're going to like this new left fielder I'm bringing in. I said, who is it? He goes, it's Sean Abner. He goes, I took him with the number one pick in the draft when I was the GM of the Mets. And I said, yeah, but hasn't he been in baseball for like 3 or 4 years? He goes, he has, but he's bounced around and nobody's ever really given him a shot.
Okay.
And my question to Joe was, I said, so what's a shot? He goes, I told him he's our starting left fielder. I'm going to leave him in there for a month and not to worry if he starts off slow. I go, okay, but what is, and here's my question to the two of you.
Right.
What is a reasonable sample size to give a guy to get back on track? And this is kind of the Cody Bellinger question, because Bellinger for the last 2 years, the Dodgers kept trotting him out there.
Yep.
And he just never got it. So you mentioned 31 at-bats so far, right?
14 strikeouts.
Greg, is 100 at-bats enough? If you give a guy 100 at-bats and he's not hitting, do I cut bait on him? Is 200 at-bats enough? Is till the All-Star break enough? How long do you give a guy before you reach the conclusion he can't hit?
So I think it depends on the person. The difference between, you know, like if it was James Outman.
By the way, the end of that story, let me back up just 1 second, sorry to interrupt you, was Sean Abner. He put him out there for 2 months, and he hit 082,
yep.
And he gave up.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of have
up.
To. So I think that makes a difference. He was in the league for 3-4 years, right? Cody Bellinger was in the league for a little while. Chris Taylor's been in the league for 8 years and has been a part of this team for a long time.
And you can see when a swing is broke.
Right, and you can. Like, if it was James Outman, you give him time. You give him 2 months. You let him do his thing. But because Chris Taylor has consistently struck out a lot over the last 3-4 years, he's been right around this strikeout percentage for most of his career now. You don't expect it to just magically change. So I think the time frame
smaller. 31 at-bats. What'd you say, Mace? 14 strikeouts.
I think you give him the middle of May. Tops.
And then if he's still not hitting, you just give up?
You put him on the IL, have him do some rehab assignments.
Because you can't send him down, right? He's been in the league too long?
No, he's been in the league too long.
Yeah, no, I mean...
He's probably out of options, as they say.
But I think the Dodgers need to be looking at shortstop options.
They do, absolutely.
They really do. Miguel Rojas, plays it defensively well, but just a guy.
Yep.
You need a plus player at shortstop.
And really, it's your guy Gavin Lux. Him being hurt
changed the whole thing. That was the guy they were going to give the position to.
Yep, everyday shortstop.
The other thing that bothers me about this team is everybody is being aggressive on the base paths. Like, for example, Sunday against Arizona, Diamondbacks stole 5 bases. San Diego pushes it in terms of stealing bases. The Dodgers, I think, have got 2 stolen bases.
Yeah, both by James Outman.
By James Outman.
Yep.
They don't really have guys who run either. There's no, like, Outman runs.
Yeah.
Outman can run.
But who else?
But who else is going to steal bases for you? Who else is going to put pressure
Mookie?
On opposing pitcher? Yeah, Mookie.
He can, but
why is
they
Mookie
don't...
not stealing bases?
I mean, because I guess he doesn't want him to get hurt, or it's not the right time. I mean, he walked 3 times last night. He had opportunities.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think this is a very, very flawed Dodgers team.
So far. You know, they've only played, 15 games?
Yeah, but I mean, realistically, they don't have the depth that they had in years past. They don't have the depth in terms of rotation. We'll find out. I think it's Syndergaard tonight.
Kershaw tonight.
Tomorrow night, Syndergaard. Syndergaard's had one good start, got blown up the other time.
Yep.
You ever hear the Leo McGarry baseball analogy?
No.
From the West Wing?
No.
All right. Somebody else said this, but Aaron Sorkin stole it.
Right, right.
He said, baseball's a long season. Look at it this way. Every team is going to win 60 games, and every team is going to lose 60 games. It's the other 42 that matter. So you don't want to overreact after 15 games. Greg, I would say this thing with Chris Taylor is you run the Bellinger curve. In other words, you hit him at the bottom of the lineup.
That is where he is.
You give him DH things so he only has to concentrate on hitting. He's not in the field. And if that doesn't work, you put him in the field. I mean, you try everything before you give
but
him.
But you wouldn't waste him in the DH spot.
Yeah, but
he's there to play shortstop or second base.
How's his fielding been?
That's fine.
You're fine. He's a decent fielder. He's not a plus fielder, but he's a decent fielder.
But do you think that overall they gave Cody Bellinger too much time or the right amount of time?
No.
Too much.
Too much time.
But he was there because of
his defense. And here's why I was okay with it. 3 years ago, he won MVP. In there somewhere. It's hard to give up on a guy that won MVP, helped you win a World Series, and then just stopped hitting. I can't even remember anybody else ever.
Chris Bryant.
But Chris Bryant
fell off huge.
But Chris Bryant didn't hit under 200, did he? Like Cody did?
Chris Bryant has bounced around now like crazy.
Where is he now?
Colorado.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Jorge, you got that thing? Okay, so before we get to what's up, Foo, Kornheiser and Wilbon are on PTI today, and the question they just asked is, how should the Lakers feel after that shaky win last night? Here's what they said.
How should the Lakers feel after just beating a team that you say repeatedly is stupid?
Tony, it's amazing what I'm hearing today from many of my colleagues and friends all over the airwaves as they make excuses for the Lakers. As they tell me how great the Laker defense was late that allowed them to climb back in a game, they trailed 80-65 in the second half. What? What are you talking about? The Lakers had every advantage in front of them. You mentioned the absences from the Minnesota lineup. Karl-Anthony Towns gets 5 fouls because he's got to play both positions because Rudy Gobert has punched his own way into a suspension. And so Karl-Anthony Towns is gassed, has nothing left in the fourth quarter. Okay, but yet the Laker great defense, they can't even get the damn ball in bounds twice. I think once in the fourth quarter, once in overtime involving LeBron. They can't get the ball in bounds. And I'm hearing, oh, it should be encouraging. No, it should not be encouraging because Minnesota once again dumbed its way to a choking loss after being up for most of three quarters and then even into the fourth quarter. And the Lakers could barely take advantage. You've got to be kidding me. I was ready to say, I said yesterday, the Lakers could. They look like healthy. Davis and LeBron, they could go to the final. No, they can't. They can barely beat that team at home in a playoff game, essentially. Stop. Don't want to hear the excuse making.
Yeah, Mike. It is a friggin' snapshot in time, man. It was one night they've won,
and they
10
won.
Of 12, and they won the game, and they scrapped back into it in the final 17 minutes.
I mean,
Minnesota
I know,
turned the ball over 11 times and scored 5 points. That is great defense.
And I know we're in the hot take business, but that, I mean, if they lost the game, then I would take all that with a lot more credence.
Yes.
But they figured out a way. In the playoffs, it's all about figuring out a way to win.
Yeah.
And it's not always going to be pretty, in particular with a team that goes to the free throw line as much as the Lakers do. Let's see how it looks Sunday. That doesn't mean they're not going to get beat by Memphis in this series, but it certainly doesn't mean they're going to lose it.
Well, Bergman says yes, they're going to
lose
it.
Yeah, but what does he know?
It's so funny. Like, I want them to win.
Are all your questions in What's Up, Fool going to be like negative? Lakers are going to lose. The sky is falling.
Absolutely
kind of thing.
Not. But all by right, the way, good. I am absolutely now going to become the station's Laker hater. That's everybody will think I hate the Lakers now.
You're just figuring that out now?
No, I know it. Remember, I had a Lakers dance party hoedown on my phone.
Yeah that's
so,
right.
So you know,
oh, whatever happened to that thing?
I got promoted. And
now
I
you got
anymore.
A dance party hoedown on your phone for the Dodgers.
For the Dodgers, yeah. I had one of those.
How's the
too.
Blue review?
The blue review was good. You know what we talked
was
about
it,
today?
Was what? It
Chris Taylor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, was it the depressed blue review today after the performance last night?
No.
Are they back in San Francisco tonight?
Yeah. Yes, they are. Yeah.
Kershaw.
I'm going to watch the game.
Really
you know why?
Well in San Francisco.
Only takes 2 hours.
It's true. 2 hours. It flies. All right. Coming up next for you is What's Up, Fool? Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Thanks, Chris. It's funny, guys, we were talking about Paul Pierce earlier, but he was on, I don't know if it's the same podcast, but he was on the I Am an Athlete podcast and said the other day that he is the most overrated player he has ever played against was Richard Jefferson.
Hmm.
Kind of a weird one. Richard actually had a pretty decent career. Who is the most overrated athlete you have ever watched any sport?
Most overrated athlete
you've ever watched any sport.
I've ever watched.
All time.
In any sport.
Obviously, Rudy Gobert for me.
Yeah, for you, it's Rudy Gobert. It's a go-to.
Yeah. You know, what popped into my head when you asked that is Remember when Buster Douglas knocked out Mike Tyson?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Right. That's a good one.
I thought, Buster Douglas, if you can knock out Mike Tyson, you're going to have a really good career. And he just had nothing after that. I mean, he was a heavyweight champ for like 2 months. And I think then Evander Holyfield came in and beat him, or somebody else knocked him out. So Buster Douglas is the one that popped into my head.
That's a good one.
Mine is Sammy Sosa.
Because you never, that's a good answer too, because you to this day, he was using a cork bat early in his career, and then late he was juicing.
Yeah.
I have no idea if Sammy Sosa can hit.
And the one thing about Mark McGwire, and they obviously, you know.
Yeah, Mark McGwire was a star in college.
Mark McGwire hit 54 home runs as a rookie. Sammy Sosa was just a guy and developed into this guy who had 60-plus homers in a season. So I would say Sammy Sosa.
All right, that's a good one. All right.
What's up, fool?
So the Mario movie is a massive hit.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt as Mario, on the other hand. Not great. There's some discussion around big named actors being voiceover talent on cartoon movies.
So is it strictly a voiceover role for Chris Pratt?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I mean, it's a cartoon, so
It's animated.
So on cartoon names, but back in the day, it was always someone you didn't typically know who they were. They were just voiceover talent. So which do you prefer, a big named actor or an unknown voiceover talent?
Can I tell you guys something?
Yep.
I have a secret dream.
Okay.
That one day I'm going to get one of those really cushy voiceover gigs.
So much money.
My buddy Richard Schiff, who I play golf with, the guy from The West Wing, told me that Allison Janney, you know, she does those Kaiser Permanente ads, said she could just live off of those. Like, she wouldn't even have to act anymore. I mean, she's like one of the best actresses alive, so she probably will continue to act. But this was like when she was doing West Wing and I, Tonya and Mom and all those shows. On the side, she was doing Kaiser Permanente ads, and she would record spots like once a week. So, Greg, I never poo-poo any voiceover work, in it, whether it be in a movie, in commercials, because secretly, I really want to do it. But like, I've never been able to break into it.
But you like the movie Up, right?
Loved it. Yeah.
So, but would you prefer that those were just...
By the way, do you remember who voiced Carl Fredrickson in Up?
I can't think of the name right now. Yeah.
It was Ed Asner.
Yeah, so big time name.
Do you remember who voiced Lightning McQueen?
Yeah, it was...
Owen Wilson.
Yeah. Wow.
Do you guys know who did Larry the Cable Guy?
Yeah, it was Larry the Cable Guy.
I screwed that up. Larry the Cable Guy. Do you guys know who Sally was in the Cars movies? You know her personal.
I don't know.
It was Bonnie Hunt.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So Bonnie all Hunt. Big time names.
Yeah.
But like back in the day, like the Robin Hood movie. You know,
I'll tell you, here's why it happens.
Disney Robin Hood.
Here's why it happens. It happens because then Chris Pratt or Bonnie Hunt or whoever it is can go on talk shows and talk about the movie and promote the movie. That's why they use name actors. And generally speaking, they use name actors. Like if you look at... Like John said, Cars, Toy Story, they're all
Toy
people
Story
that we
is
know.
Tom Hanks and Tim Allen.
Of course.
I mean, those guys have been stars of regular movies.
So I just remember when I was watching Disney movies back in the day and I didn't know who the actors were.
Yeah,
I got
you
into
liked
the
it
actual
better.
I liked cuz I got into the character. Now, a lot of times I hear this person's voice. I hear Chris Pratt's voice.
I forget how old you are, but did you watch Cheers
39.
Growing up?
I did.
Okay. Yeah. So the
George
guy,
Wendt, yeah.
No. The guy who played Cliff Clavin is in every Pixar movie.
Yep.
John Ratzenberger. Yeah, and he's in all of them and just does... I mean, that's been his career for better part of it. Mace, how easy would our life be if we were just doing... You would love it, man. You would be in sweats every day.
It'd be fantastic. And I don't know why I'm not doing voiceover, to be honest with you.
You should.
Yeah, hey, somebody out there... We live in Hollywood. Somebody out there that's writing a movie, hire Mason and I to be the voice of your cartoon.
Yeah.
We'll do it for a deal.
Sophie could do it. My dog Sophie.
Sophie, hi.
I can do my old guy voice. Yeah, Sophie, get out of my chair. Damn dog.
Okay, so take it all away. Which do you prefer, though?
I prefer
both.
There to be names. Yeah.
You prefer the names.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Jorge, do you care one way?
Then you'd rather, Greg, you'd rather have a no name actor do it.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Let's actually get into the character more.
A lot of people believe. Sorry, Jorge.
No,
a lot of people believe that Kevin Conroy, who is the voice of Batman.
Yep.
Is the best Batman there ever was.
Yep.
Because he did the animated version.
Not a big time name.
So it does work either way.
Best Batman ever, Adam West.
Oh, Come on.
Michael Keaton.
Christian Bale. Also, to your point, Greg, there's a guy who does Mac, who does Ham on all these Pixar. I don't even know his name.
No, that's Ratzenberger.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah,
that's the guy I was talking about. From you ever see Cheers?
No.
Okay,
he's
so,
almost.
Wait a minute. You've never seen the TV show Cheers?
No, I've been to the museum where they have the bar. That's
yeah. So in the same regulars come into the bar all the time, and Cliff was a mailman. He's a know-it-all. That's Ham. That's Mac the truck.
The Caterpillar.
By the way, okay. So because Cars was my kid's favorite movie growing up, do you guys remember who plays who voices Lightning McQueen's agent?
No.
Jeremy Piven.
Yeah.
Oh, Jeremy Piven.
Do you guys remember the two guys that announced the big race at the end? Who the announcers were?
Dale Earnhardt. One of them.
Bob Costas and Darryl Waltrip.
Yeah.
Were the guys who did it at the end.
By the way,
and then you guys know who played the Hudson Hawk.
No.
I mean, I forget who it is. I knew
really?
At the time.
Yeah.
It was Paul Newman.
Yeah. Paul Newman. Oh, was it really?
Yeah.
Doc Hudson. Wait. Yeah. Yeah, right?
Yeah, Doc Hudson was Paul Newman.
I mean, I get it happens. It just, you know. I feel like you hear their voice more than you hear the character a lot of times.
Oh, you forget. Now, are people really bagging on Chris Pratt? He didn't really do an Italian accent, apparently.
No.
Mario's supposed to be Italian. Yeah, right. Italiano.
He's Chris Pratt as Mario.
Yeah.
You know, we've had Chris Pratt on the show. Do you remember why?
No. I don't remember.
Did you really?
Chris Pratt on the show.
I wasn't here.
Amanda was producing us.
Okay. Oh, she used to get great guests.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't do that.
Chris Pratt came on the show because... he played Scott Hatterberg in Moneyball.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And Moneyball came out, we couldn't get Hatterberg, but we got Pratt.
We got Pratt, right.
Yeah, and he talked about it, and he had a great experience. And, I love Moneyball, so it was fun talking to him.
Great, great movie.
What's up, Foo?
Okay, so I came across this interesting video of Robert Griffin III's wife that says that he trains every day in case the NFL team calls. Does he really have a shot to come back in the NFL?
How old is he? Did you look it up?
No, I didn't.
I'll look it up.
The answer is mostly no.
But he trains every day. Like, why? Who?
It's one thing to be in shape, and then it's another thing to be in football
33.
Shape. 33? Yeah, not coming back.
I see him on ESPN all the time. I'm like,
he's great, by the way, as an analyst.
But I don't think he can. You really think he can come back?
I do not. I do not think he could come back. There's a difference. Like I said, there's a difference between in shape and football shape. He hasn't played football in a very long time. How long has he been out of the league? 5 years.
He's 33. Yeah. That's younger than I thought.
Yeah.
Younger than I thought. I mean, Tom Brady's playing at 43 or 45 or whatever he's doing.
But probably not.
But his RG3's game was his legs.
Yeah. Right.
Does he still have his speed?
No, because remember his knee injury. What was it? Leg?
Right.
Injury? Yeah.
If he's just a pocket passer, I don't know if it works. But that good for him. I mean, nothing wrong with training and staying in shape.
And by the way, he's a fantastic analyst. I really do like him as an analyst.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. He does a really good job.
Like, I always think, did Carmelo ever actually retire?
No,
I think so.
So but
they
he
just stopped playing.
Right. I don't think he retired. I think the league retired him.
Right.
Yeah. But like the Marcus Cousins.
If a team called, Melo could be a good spot-up shooter for, like, a really good team. Like if you put him on the bench in Milwaukee and let Giannis slash to the hoop and just... stand outside and shoot threes. I can see his phone ringing.
What's
you want on the Raiders,
Phil?
Greg?
No, I do not.
You know, Greg, that's exactly the kind of guy the Raiders would sign.
It's 100%.
It would go Raiders to sign a guy who's been out of the league for 5 years.
Well, they got Brian Hoyer as the backup now, so we can,
Go with
that.
Of course they did, because anybody who's ever worked for the Patriots in any way, shape, or form now has a job at the Raiders.
Absolutely. Just like Edelman is over there now, too.
Yep.
All right, so I did ask Berg on Travis and Sliwa today, and one of the questions...
Was this your first time doing it?
Second.
Okay.
One of the questions that didn't make it on was, which athlete do you most resemble looks-wise?
Okay.
I said Chris Taylor because that's the one that I get the most. But this one
That's a good one for you.
Yeah, but this one guy said Jimmy G for me, and I laughed very hard, and Travis
laughed very hard.
And that's just wrong.
No, what you say is not what you just said. Not that's just wrong. You say, thank you very much.
I said I was very flattered, but you're wrong. But what athlete do you think you resemble the most looks-wise? Athletes.
So this is a super random one, but... a friend of mine once said, you look like Mark Bulger, the old Rams quarterback.
I need to look him up.
If you look up Mark Bulger, there is a definite, aside
from
the
that's you.
Hair.
Okay, so the one for me, and it's not very flattering, but I have to admit.
Holy my God, Mark Bulger is you.
Mark Bulger is me. Look at that. Look at that.
He does look a little like you. The dead lookalike for you was that guy I saw in the play. That guy on Broadway.
Right.
But he's not an athlete.
Okay, so the guy Mace, I'm going to show this to you. The guy that people say I used to look like, and again, it's not very flattering to me, but it is kind of true. Jeff George.
Oh, Jeff George. Yeah,
the old number one, the old number one pick.
He's kind of got your hair.
Yeah. So people.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
See, so people give me a lot of Jeff George. Jorge, how about you?
Oh, I haven't had anybody compare me. To
you have you have no lookalikes.
Ronaldo.
By the way, this is how old we are.
Ronaldo. Yeah, no, but the R9, the bigger
theater
one.
Theater of the mind. So, he looks like Ronaldo.
Right, so I heard a great. I heard a great story about Ronaldo, and excuse me, about Ronaldo and Kim Kardashian. So apparently, they were in the same nightclub, and Kim doesn't speak Portuguese, and Ronaldo's English at the time wasn't any good.
Oh, boy.
But they're both so physically good-looking that Courtney was with Kim, her sister.
Yep.
And she said they just met in a bar, and 20 minutes later, they were in a corner making out. She said they can't even speak like the same language, and it didn't matter. They were both so good-looking that they just gravitated to each other and started making out.
Man.
I just got this one. I'm not haggard Aaron Rodgers.
You're better looking than Aaron Rodgers.
That's a weird.
You're the same age, but you're better looking than Aaron Rodgers.
I appreciate that. I don't know what a not haggard Aaron Rodgers looks like.
In Chris Taylor. You're saying you look haggard.
No, Greg, you do look like Chris Taylor. Like,
yeah,
you,
I get that
you
a lot.
You could doppelganger Chris. You could like put on his uniform and go to Dodger Stadium and step into the cage, and somebody would ask you for your autograph.
I get that one a lot. Actually, yeah. Travis this morning said I looked like Cody Bellinger.
No,
that's
you
a
don't have more like CT3 for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I see CT3. It's also I'm a white guy with a beard, so I'm like every other white guy with a beard.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, coming up next for you, circle back to last night's dramatic Lakers win over Minnesota. It was ugly, but they did it. They're headed towards a first-round matchup now with the Memphis Grizzlies starting on Sunday. Plus, it is the birthday of who I think is the greatest talk show host of all time. It's coming up next for you. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.